Please turn with me in your copy of God's Word to the book of Haggai. If you're still open to Matthew, it's only a few pages before that. And this afternoon, we'll be reading, continuing our series through Haggai, reading in chapter 1, verses 12 through 15. This is the word of the Lord. Then Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, and Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, with all the remnant of the people, obeyed the voice of the Lord their God, and the words of Haggai the prophet, as the Lord their God had sent him. And the people feared the Lord. Then Haggai, the messenger of the Lord, spoke to the people with the Lord's message, "I am with you," declares the Lord. And the Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and the spirit of Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and the spirit of all the remnant of the people. And they came and worked on the house of the Lord of hosts, their God, on the 24th day of the month, in the sixth month, in the second year of Darius the king. As the word of the Lord, let us pray. Our gracious and loving Father, you have given us your word. We ask that you would set aside distraction from our minds so that we might hear your word and be blessed by it. Work among us by your spirit, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thus far in Haggai's prophecy, we have heard God graciously speaking to his people to rouse them from their slumber and to call them to see reality rightly. And in this passage, we see first the people's response, then we'll see the Lord's encouragement, and finally the Lord's provision to his people. So we'll see first in verse 12 the people's wise response. You'll note that in verse 12, there are a lot of names given, maybe not a lot, but all the remnant of the people are named, along with Zerubbabel and Joshua. But they do something in particular. They obey the voice of the Lord their God, and they fear the Lord. See, God has commanded his people to heed and to listen to the words of his prophet. And here we see the proper response. We see that they have obeyed. When they've heard the word of the Lord, they actually listened. And what this means is not altogether difficult for us. We think about people who you're talking to. Perhaps you've had to tell somebody in the past, "Don't do that." And then they do it. And you say, "Were you listening to me?" Well, by their actions, they've showed that they weren't listening. Versus somebody, when you tell them, "Don't do that," and then you have to say nothing else. Because by their actions, they show that they were actually listening to you. And the word that's actually used here in the text when we read obeyed is the sense of listening to the voice of the Lord. And listening with the intent to heed. Listening to obey. And this is the language that we get in Deuteronomy chapter 28. Deuteronomy chapter 28 has come up already in the book of Haggai. That the first 11 verses have been laying out some of the curses that God's people are experiencing. And Deuteronomy chapter 28 would have been well known because it lays out the blessings of covenant faithfulness and the curses of covenant disobedience. And so after having gone through the reality of experiencing the covenant curses, God's people respond with obedience. And this harkens back to Deuteronomy 28, verse 1, where God says, "If you faithfully obey," and then goes on to list blessing after blessing after blessing that will come to his people. See, God's blessing is for those who not only hear what he says, but who take it to heart. It's not Haggai's ingenuity that does this. It's not that Haggai had a great presence in and of himself. It's the voice of the living God that brings this to pass. So the people obey the voice of the Lord their God and the words of Haggai the prophet. It's the Lord of hosts who speaks and brings his people into new life. And the other thing that the people do in verse 12, is they fear the Lord. See, they have now a proper view of reality. Previously, what were the people afraid of? Well, apparently they were afraid of hunger, of thirst, of the weather, of being cold. But now they know who is actually sovereign. They remember their Lord, and they realize that the one that they serve is so sovereign over all of these things. And so their response shows us what Proverbs reminds us is the beginning of wisdom. They fear the Lord. And hot on the heels of this positive response from the people to God's word, we get the Lord's encouragement in verse 13. And you'll note here that Haggai is described as the messenger of the Lord. He's not called the prophet right away here, but the messenger of the Lord. And this is language that's used to often describe an angelic announcement, that the one who brings the word of God to his people is God's messenger, the messenger of the Lord. And the people's renewed perception of their relationship with the Lord and their obedience causes God to send them a new message. The people have heard God's word from his messenger. They've responded properly in repentance and faith. And now the Lord has graciously commissioned his messenger to send a word of encouragement, because the particular message that Haggai has sent is short, but it's vital. I am with you, says the Lord. See, before the temple was built, God sent this message to his people. I am with you. The temple was the visible manifestation of God's presence. The temple would be something that the people could look at and remind themselves, God is with us, because he's promised to be there with his temple. And yet before that was even built, God reminds his people, I am with you. It's hard not to hear the words of James 4:8 here. Draw near to the Lord, and he will draw near to you. And that's exactly what we see here. God has given his people ears to hear, and they've responded in faith, and he encourages them with his presence. And what greater request could anybody have than to have God himself with them? And what greater blessing could God give than to give us his presence? And this is what it means that Jesus Christ is Emmanuel. He is God with us. God come in the flesh. You see, one Old Testament commentator has noted that this is showing the same ordinary work of the Holy Spirit from the Old Testament to the New Testament, that God sends his Spirit to his people, and he dwells among his people by his Spirit. And in dwelling with his people, he grows his people in the ability to walk in line with faith, and he makes effective the work of their hands. This is what it means for God to be present with his people. And so the Lord provides as well for his people. And we see this in verses 14 and 15. And the Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and the spirit of Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and the spirit of all the remnant of the people. And they came and worked on the house of the Lord of hosts, their God. You'll note that God isn't abstract. God isn't someone out there, some impersonal force. This is the Lord, the covenant-making and covenant-keeping God of Israel. And he is more than that. He is their God. And this is the blessing of having God with us, that God is our God. And one Reformed commentator has noted as well the importance of God sending Joshua and Zerubbabel to lead the people. Perhaps you've done CPR training. If you have, maybe even if you haven't, you probably know it's a bad idea in the case of an emergency to shout out, somebody call 911, because nobody's going to call 911, because everybody else will think someone's going to call 911. Now you look at somebody and say, you, in particular, you call 911. And there's no way that that person can say, well, you weren't talking to me. And in effect, God has done exactly that in this passage. He has raised up leaders for the people. And he's ensured that someone in particular knows that they bear the responsibility of getting the herd moving in the right direction. But beyond that, he's also stirred up the spirit of all of the people. And you'll note that it's not the full return from exile yet. This is the remnant that God has promised. You see, God is able to keep his promises alive, even if all outward signs would make you think, this is not going well. But we know that even from stones, God could raise up children for Abraham. And even from this remnant of the people, God will bring his purposes to pass. That even these few is enough for God. That God can work powerfully in ways beyond our imagining. And so 23 days after the message came to rouse the people from their slumber, they were at work. If you've ever done construction, or have had construction work done, or have read about this, or seen it on TV, you probably know that that's a pretty tight timeline. The people have returned to the word, and they've gotten right to work. How do we understand this? Well, the people are bearing fruit in keeping with the word of God. We know that God's word does not return to him empty. And here we see it at work, cutting into the hearts of the people and bringing about newness of obedience and newness of faith. And it is the work of the Holy Spirit to do this. From the very beginning, hovering over the waters of creation, breathing into the nostrils of man to make him a life-giving spirit, to bringing dead sinners to new birth in Christ Jesus, the Spirit of God brings forth life. And this life that God brings forth is marked by fruitfulness. So how do we think about this passage? How do we think about all that's going on here? Well, simply put, for all who are in Christ Jesus, God is with us. And to understand that, you can put the accent in two different places. God is with us, or God is with us. Either way is a faithful way to read that. And probably the best is both. You see, God is with us. Have you known seasons where your feet have wandered? Have you ever wondered if God can really bring you back to him again? Well, here we have God's Spirit speaking through the prophet Haggai to remind us, listen to the voice of the Lord your God. Trust him. Because in Jesus Christ, God has spoken definitively that he himself is with us. And what can separate us from him? Shall life or death? No. Nothing in all of creation can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus, because he has spoken, and what he has spoken will come to pass. But note also that God is with us. None of the pronouns in this passage are singular. God is with his people. And God's presence with his people builds them up by his Spirit into a community. And that community is the church, the group that God has called together, united to Christ as their head and to one another as members of one body. This is the work of God's Holy Spirit in his work with us. And what a blessing it is when God speaks and grants that his people would respond in faith and obedience. May that be the truth for us as we consider the reality that God himself is with us. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you that you assure us of your presence with us, and that even when we feel alone, yet you are there. We ask that you would remind us of this constantly, that we would be prepared for the day when we enter into our rest, won by Christ, and behold you face to face. Strengthen us by your Spirit to the praise of your glory. In Jesus' name. Amen.